Hello everyone, it's Karen McCoy of McCoy Fitness and Health, and welcome to today's coaching call on remembering who you are. It's that time of the year, it's the fall, Remembrance Day will be rolling around soon, and this is always a time for reflection, and our first order of the day is always to reflect outward on those who served and helped and rose and fell for us in all ways, and especially in this day and age when there's so much strife and chaos. And when we're being attacked on our own home turf here of in Canada, which is unusual, and in the States and other countries abroad, it's a very chaotic time, and fear seems to be the order of the day. People causing fear, people feeling fear, it seems to be the currency that everybody's feeling. And it's now more important than ever that we remember who we are as individuals, because who we are as individuals, we are a blink in the eye of the big forces at work. We are a microcosm of the big cosmos. All those people that are doing harm have forgotten who they are. They're searching, they're wandering, and they're lost souls, and they glom on to something that is not inner-based, it's outer-based, it's ego-based, it's power-based, power over instead of power within, and there's a lot of lost souls out there. I do not want you guys to be one of them. Now, I know that you guys have your heads on straight, and we're a moving force. It doesn't mean that we're always on the ball. It doesn't mean that we always know how we're running our life and that it's not always at the best of our abilities. But what we do know is we have the goodness within to know that we're all powerful within. And I want you guys to really focus just for the moment on you and yourself on the inside. So let me ask you this. Who are you? Define yourself right now. What kind of words would you use to define yourself? I'm not talking about what you do for a living. I'm not talking about your career. I'm not talking about the awards or the accolades or the dress that we put on or the titles that we have or all of those ethnocentric, egocentric outer things. Not to say that they're not important, but in all of my work, you guys know and everybody listening here knows that whether you're in the 10-week or the 12-week or the HLP, we always talk about our power words. And the reason I bring those in is because power words are so intrinsic to who we are. And I always want women to remember how powerful and wonderful they are. And when you have that and you're reciting that to yourself, at the same time you're doing exercise, which is opening your body up, opening your cells up, and the oxygen and the blood and the nutrients are just coursing through your veins and through your muscles. That also is a time when your body and your spirit really hears any of the messages. So let's look at it this way. Whenever we're in a painful moment in our life or a euphoric moment in our life, a song comes on and our emotions are so big, our bodies are wide open, and we hear that song, we remember that song for 20, 30, 40 years after. And they say that songs have such the ability to take us back in memory. That's because I believe our ability to remember is wide open because our cellular state is wide open. So there's lots of ways of getting there, through meditation, through trial and trauma, through euphoria, through intense love, ecstasy, and, of course, through exercise, which also opens our cells and our bodies as well. And so when we're in the gym, I want you guys to use, create, and repeat your power words to you. What are they? I always start with five, and they can change all the time. But if you haven't done this for a while, I want you to do it again. And you guys know how I feel when you go to the gym. That time is sacred. Your work is sacred. Your body is sacred. And it is a gift to be able to move your body and to work to make it stronger and more flexible and more supple and more alive. Because a lot of people don't get that chance. They don't have that opportunity due to illness or disease or disability or whatever it happens to be. And so it is truly, it is a privilege that we have just by the God-given right that we're born into health to a certain degree. So we have a responsibility, I believe, to use these bodies well and to maintain this vessel and to fill it with power-filled words. So current action-oriented words, who are you? Here's who what I am, I would say, for some of my power words. Strong, capable, creative, loving, non-judgmental, humble, open, gracious, creative, free, funny. So power words are words that you can say to yourself that define who you are. Now, a lot of people actually have a problem with this. They get a mental block, like a writer's block, and say, well, who am I? Who am I today? Well, who I am now is not who I was 10 years ago. And I actually don't want you to look at it that way. I want you to find who you've always been from before conception and that you'll always be after death. So yes, I'm getting into a little bit of the spiritual, a little bit of the woo here. Who you are as a light, as a spiritual being, as a force, as an energy, that does not change. And so we all come into this world with gifts. We all come in with promises. We all come in with purpose. And our work could be our purpose, but it might not be. And so those beliefs and values, those power words, who we are, doesn't change. They don't change. It doesn't say that you were this way when you were in your 20s and now you're different in your 30s or 40s. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to break down your years from 0 when you were born to 10 years old. Let's start with that, okay? Or if you had a very tumultuous first 10 years of your life, you might want to go from 0 to 5 and then from 6 to 10. Who were you in that time? What did you love to do? And this, to me, seems to be the key for everybody that I know. The problem is, as we get older, we tend to forget, or our memories get jaded by other people remembering stuff, and so we can't always remember clearly. Our memories are actually other people's memories that we have hijacked for some reason. So I want you to think about, who were you in value from up to the age of 10? What did you like to do? What filled you with joy and creativity? What turned your crank? What was it that other people said was uniquely you? For me, I can say honestly, I did this little exercise and I wrote a bunch of things down, because this is you without all of the heavy clothing of responsibility and adulthood and traumas and stuff along the way. This is you as a free, open, spirited, naive child. And that seems to be the common thread that gets lost along the way in our 20s and 30s and 40s. We have glimmers of it coming up again, and then we lose it again. If I were to look at me from 0 to 10, and I know me really well. I don't know you guys, so I'm just trying to show you how this exercise works with me. I would say, as a kid, everything that I'm doing now in my 50s is exactly what I did, what was born into me in my early beginnings. And I've done this exercise enough to be able to see it come full circle. And when it comes full circle, then you know you've hit on who you really are that does not change. It is the constant fabric of who you are from the day you were born, or before, I believe, before, until the day you die and afterward. And it's very freeing to know who you are, because that gives you a glimpse into your purpose, into your gifts, into what you bring forward in this world. So for me, when I was a kid, whenever I was upset with my parents, for example, I was a very emotional kid. I'm a very emotional person. I would often write letters to my parents, and I would tuck them under their pillow because I had a hard time communicating. I was always so emotional. I would cry, or I would get angry, or it just didn't come out the way I wanted it to. And for me, writing seemed to be my elixir. It seemed to be my way of being able to clean out the pipes and make sense out of it. And there was always like a sense of relief after I finished putting something down on paper. So I would write these little letters to my dad or to my mom, and I would stick them under their pillow at night, and I would go to bed because that was my way of telling them what I was truly feeling. And they would read it, and then they would come to me in the morning, and we would talk about it, and the storm would pass. So writing was always a big thing for me. I would say also I was always out in the woods. We lived on about 5 acres up alongside the, right below the Bruce Escarpment. If any of you guys are from Ontario, you know where that is. It's a long, long hiking trail that now they've made longer all through Ontario, and it's called the Bruce Trail, and we lived below the escarpment where the Bruce Trail was, and the whole backyard was just raw woods filled with maples and birch trees and a lot of critters. And so critters were always my little family. There were raccoons and squirrels and mice, lots of mice, moles. I remember, you know, playing with moles because they're kind of weird little things. They're blind. They can't really see you. And I would always come home with, much to the horror of my mother, I would come home with baby mice that I had found that Mom had abandoned, or maybe she hadn't abandoned, maybe she had just gone out somewhere. And I would find these little nests in the ground of these little baby mice, and I would bring them in, and, you know, my mom would, like, scream and just say, keep them away, and yes, I'll help feed them, and she was really good. So I was always mothering. I was always mothering. My dad always used to say if there was a bird with a broken wing, I would be there. And I was like that with people too. For some reason, whenever people are in trauma, you know, whether I was a little kid or whenever I got older, I would always attract people, and they would talk to me about their problems and stuff. And I still have that today. I still have people confiding in me. And I think probably because I'm told that I don't know, I'm a good listener, and I don't judge, and I don't gossip, and I don't I validate them where they're at, you know. I don't try to change their state. Everybody needs to be heard and listened to and validated. And people say I seem to have a calming way about me, and which is really nice, because we often don't see ourselves the way other people see us, and that's a real valuable thing too, is to ask other people how they see you, if you can handle it, because it can be a little bit challenging, but most people are very generous in what they have to say. You might want to ask other people how they see you, what your good traits are. Very, very eye-opening. So I was always mothering people. Even when I worked in the restaurants in Banff, you know, when I had a table of four and I was their waitress for the night, I just wanted to make sure that everything was right, everything was perfect, and I was always there for them. And if something wasn't right, it was devastating to me that their meal wasn't right, and I would work so hard to make it right. And so that was the mothering aspect of me. I was also a teacher. When I look, you know, through all that time, I remember I would practice with my hairbrush as the microphone in the mirror in my bedroom when I was like 8 years old, and I would practice giving seminars, or I think I was even doing commercials or giving lectures or something. I was always talking like I was talking to a group of people, and it was that teacher in me wanting to put things into words to be able to communicate to people. I don't know where that came from, but I never wanted to be an actress or anything. I just wanted to communicate, I guess. I wanted to teach other people. I always preferred to be alone than in a group. I did have friends, but I prefer, even now with weight training, I prefer to train alone. I'm quite a solitary person. I am an introvert for sure, and I prefer to I always preferred to be alone, and that rings true as well. And I'm a nature baby. I've always loved the outdoors. Not that I necessarily go running 10K or anything, but there's something about the outdoors. My house has 52 windows in it, so and very few curtains, and we live in the woods. And so the inside is out, the outside is in. I've always felt, I feel more comfortable, if it's pitch black out, I feel more comfortable out in the woods than I do in my own home. The home to me seems like, at times, like an alien construct that is like not normal to be living. I don't know, maybe I was raised by wolves, to be living in a home. I would rather be living or being out in the woods in the pitch black. I would walk my dog in the pitch black, and all I would do is he would be on a leash, and I would trust that he knew where he was going, and I'm quite comfortable out there. I would be more concerned about a burglar in my home than somebody hurting me out in the woods. It's weird. I've always been that way. You know, full moons, windstorms, I'm outside at 2 in the morning. Sun is great. I love the sunny days, but there's something about the night that's very intoxicating to me. The blacker, the better. So I've always been a nature person. I've always been really tied to the seasons, and I've always been a creative person, too. Creativity for me has been key to my growth, always wanting to create, whether I was talking into my hairbrush, whether I was writing a note to my parents, whether I was outside playing with all these mice and raccoons and squirrels and building little houses for them. It was always something different and something new. And so I bring that creativity into my work. Every day I wake up and I'm excited because I get to write a new article, I get to do a new blog, I get to do a new video, and I need that creative force in order for me to feel alive. So when I look at from years, say, 10 to 15, I didn't want to do all the teens because it's really too much of a jump, and I had a lot going on in my teens, like I'm sure you did too. But take a look at all the stuff that you enjoyed doing when you were a little girl. What did you enjoy doing? And then when you came into your teens, you might want to split up because the teens, again, can be a really tumultuous time. So I would say, you know, everything kind of fell apart for me around age 14. But up till then, I was still pretty much the same kind of, you know, even in school, I was very studious. I was a good student. Again, that good student thing, though, is a title, and it is a safety mechanism, just like being a good employee, just like, you know, saying you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a teacher. That's all great, but let's not look at your job or your career right now. Let's look at who you are at the deepest of deep levels. So in your teens, what were you like? Okay, we're all rebellious. But I can honestly say I still had a good heart. I can honestly say I still enjoyed writing, even though I skipped out of English so many times because I was just being rebellious. But when I look back, writing and music, the creative was always a big part of my life. Being a teacher, I was still a teacher to my friends. I was still mothering, and I was still always looking to expand my horizons and being creative. In my 20s, it was when I moved to Banff, and it was still the same, and I kind of let it all go, though, because I partied my face off for way too long. So 20s were kind of a blur. When I came into my 30s, I went back into college. What did I take in college? I took English. I took public speaking. I was like the mother hen to all the students. They all came to me for advice and inspiration, and I did work in group, but I still preferred to train alone, and I still loved creating essays and Word documents, and I had to write articles for the newspaper, and it was always a fresh start. All those same traits are there in my 30s, and college brought it up. In my 40s, it was a real tough time. That's when my son was diagnosed, as many of you know, and I went into a very dark hole for many, many years. I think that was the first time I started to understand that who I was not what I did or what I thought who I was. So that's kind of why I'm doing this call, because I know a lot of you have lost your way, or you have women, friends, family members in your life that have lost their way. When you lose your way, it's a chance for you to be pulled out of the norm of everyday life and to be quiet and to be still and to listen to a softer voice. And so when we look at depression, anxiety, even some forms of mental illness, I'm obviously not talking about the big ones, guys. I would never minimize mental illness as just a stage for many people. When you look at transitions, when you look at divorce, a lot of women are getting divorced, or they're having affairs, or their men are having affairs, or whatever. What happens in your 40s often is we lose ourselves again, because I lost myself in my 20s with drugs and alcohol. I lost myself. Oh, I found myself in my 30s, and then in 40s I lost myself with my son's diagnosis and with life in general. And so this is where I sat alone, and it was like everything I knew was stripped from me because I had a terrible, terrible health crisis. I couldn't do anything for years. I could not. Everything that I thought I was stripped clean, and I wrote about this in my book. All of the titles that I knew, a student, I wasn't going to school, so I was no longer the student, the A-plus student, right? So I didn't have that to fall back on. I didn't have that confidence boost. I was a wife, but barely, and that was tough. I was a mother, but I sure didn't feel like it because I got the diagnosis that my son had a terminal illness. I was an athlete, but I could not go to the gym, and so all my athletic years were gone. I was a health nut, but I could not get my health back. So all of those titles that defined me, a worker, an athlete, a sports nutritionist, all an A student, they were all ripped from me. And so all of the ego went with it. And I was like living without my skin. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to this. When you're living without your skin, it is the most uncomfortable place to be. But when that happens to you, that's when the real stuff can come up. And so what happens is we either give up our ego easily, which I've never seen happen yet, unless you're the Buddha, or it's ripped from you. So for me, it was ripped from me through this crisis that lasted for about 8 years, 5 years really, really intense. And everything that I knew was ripped away, even the ability to take care of myself. The one thing I was always able to do and to land on my feet was gone. I couldn't work. I couldn't sustain myself financially. It was just a mess. But it was almost like I needed that to happen in order to shed the fake coat and to let the real skin come up and start to grow. And that real skin was the real me. And that was when all that stuff, all those things that I was, all of the things that I now use in my power words, they never left me. They just got lost. And so I found my strength. I found my inspiration. I found my motivation. And I am a writer. I am a teacher. I am a mother. I am a nature baby. I am an introvert. I am a creative being. And that is who I am, and those are my gifts. Those are my gifts that I still use today in my work. And those are the threads, the common fabrics that I've had since I was a little girl into who I am today that have never left me and they never, ever will leave me. Because for as long as I'm alive and even after that, this is who I am. I am a peruser of words. I am a teacher. I am I do work to inspire. I am a mother, and I'm not just a mother of my child because I was a mother long before that. I had that mother energy of taking care of, listening, comforting, meeting people where they're at, accepting, fully non-judgmental. And so if you're in a dark place right now or you know somebody who is, let them stay there. Do not rush them out of it. Do not say, okay, now it's time. Or do not say, don't wallow in it. Sometimes we have to wallow in it. We have to allow ourselves to go into the jutty, outy parts, to go into the sticky points, and to actually embrace it. And only in embracing our pain can we let it go. We cannot let it go if we're denying it, if we're checking out with food or alcohol or too much exercise is another way, too much work, affairs, shopping, whatever it happens to be. You need to go into the heart of it, guys. You need to go in and you need to grab a hold and hold on to it tight, and it's going to shake and rattle and roll and it's going to resist because it's painful. But the pain goes when you go in there and you hold it and give it light. And that allows you to remember who you really, really are, your strengths, your purpose, your abilities that are solely yours and nobody else's. Your true gifts to the world. They're in there and they're just scared as hell, and you need to go in and reach those painful parts and sit with it. That's why meditation is so important, and that's also why I'm doing this workshop with Cheryl Forrest in the spring. And because it's so important, because what Cheryl does is she is all about helping you to find out who you are as a spirit, as a being, as an energy. All the same thing, different verbiage, whatever you want to call it. You are more than flesh and blood. You know that, and I know you know that. And if you don't know that, then, boy, you got a long way to go. But I know you guys know that because you're here on the program listening to this call with me. And she helps you to unravel and to show the ego on one side and your true inner self on the other, that light, that flame. And meditation is one way of getting there. And so I urge you to start a meditation practice only for 10 minutes a day. And it can be chaotic at first because you're sitting alone and you're trying to not think. And all these images and thoughts and voices and shopping lists are coming at you. And this is where it's really helpful to get a candle and to light a candle and to look into the flame because it keeps you focused. And I just want you to empty, because when you can empty all that chaotic stuff, the nitty-gritty, the scary stuff, all that stuff now has room to breathe, and it cannot be released unless you allow it to come to the surface. They're only thoughts. They're only memories, and they cannot hurt you. But they can hurt you if you lock them inside that precious body of yours, and it can taint your spirit because you're not allowing them to be liberated. So in remembering who you are, go through your life. Go through the decades. I've lived for 5 decades on this earth, and I can honestly see when I look through everything that I've done and everything that I was along the way, even all the crazy stupid parts, I can look and say everything that I'm doing now and everything that I'm feeling now and everything I'm doing in my work, which is my life's work, which is my purpose, has been since the beginning of time. It really, really has. And this is where we come back to ourselves. This is where us warrior women come full circle. Eventually, we all come full circle. We all must come full circle because that's the way consciousness and spirit grows. And if you don't do it this lifetime, it might be the next lifetime, but it's going to happen. Might as well be this lifetime so you can remember and enjoy it and share it with the rest of us. So this is Remembrance Day month. This is remembering who you are, who you really are as a being at your greatest and grandest version and vision of yourself at the core. It is in there. I know a lot of you guys know. And if you weren't a teacher, if you weren't a lawyer, if you weren't a doctor, if you weren't an athlete, who are you? Who are you? What is your spirit? What is it that you were born with, that you carry through? You may have forgotten along the way, because we do, and it's hidden in dysfunction and all sorts of other things, maybe hidden in disease, maybe hidden in divorce, but it will always come back and poke its nose through again. And I want you guys to search for those gifts that are you, because that, those gifts, is what you are here to bring forward into this world to share with others. It is not a monopoly, and it is not for you just to keep to yourself. It is what you bring forward as a being, as a person, to share with other people in whatever way that may be, in order to help them with their growth, in order to move us all forward. That is why we're here. We are meant to grow as a being, as a person on this earth, and that's our God-given right. So this Remembrance Day, let's remember those around us, those, of course, who have fallen for us, who fight for us, and also remember who you are, because those gifts go out into the world, and we have to live and lead by example. And when we bring that out, never mind focusing on the crazy fundamentalists. Never mind focusing. We need to acknowledge it, yes, but we don't need to live there, and we don't need to live in that fear and that anger and that angst and make it every conversation. We do not need to lay on our horn in traffic because somebody didn't go through the light fast enough or there's a pedestrian walking against the walk sign. Don't be bothered with that kind of stuff. Don't get caught there, guys. You are meant to be here as warrior women. It's not any surprise that we're all in this as a group with each other. We are meant to be here in order to help move things forward into a positive light, because you're either negative or positive, and there is no sitting on the fence with this one. You either are bringing forth that which helps humankind, or you are bringing forth that which is undercutting. Don't be part of the undercutting. Don't be part of losing yourself in gossip or blame or hostility or anger or fear. Do something better. Leave people in a better state than when you found them. That's our job. It's really, really easy to do. We just have to let go of blame, and we have to let go of, well, it's unfair. Why do they have that and I don't? Who cares? It doesn't matter. You have so much, and yours is yours alone. Let's bring that out this Remembrance Day. So please, let's work to remember who we are, and let's honor that individualness in each one of us and let it shine through, because that is what we and the world need today more than ever. Okay, you guys, happy Remembrance Day. Be well. Ciao.